City News, in partnership with the Historical Society of Ottawa, brings you this weekly feature by director James Powell, highlighting a moment in the Ottawa's history. November 18, 1949. Ottawa is undoubtedly a beautiful city. Blessed by geography, the city borders the mighty Ottawa River, and is bisected by the Rideau River and the Rideau Canal, one of only 8 UNESCO World Heritage Sites in Canada. Reputedly, Ottawa has 8 hectares, 20 acres, of parklands for every 1,000 residents, compared to only 3.2 hectares, 8 acres, of green space for every 1,000 Toronto residents, and a minuscule 1.2 hectares, 3 acres, for every 1,000 Montrealais. And that's not counting Gatineau Park that encompasses 361 square kilometers, 139 square miles, of rolling hills and pristine lakes, and extends close to the center of Gatineau, Quebec, just a few minutes' drive from Parliament Hill. Befitting a capital city, Ottawa can also boast magnificent governmental, cultural, and historic buildings and monuments. The National Capital Commission's Confederation Boulevard, which is bordered with broad, tree-lined sidewalks, runs along Sussex Drive and down Wellington Street before looping across the Ottawa River and along Rue Laurier in Gatineau before returning to Ottawa. On this ceremonial route, one can find the stately homes of the Governor-General and the Prime Minister, Canada's National Gallery, the War Memorial, the storied Chateau Laurier Hotel, and the Canadian Museum of History. Of course, the crown jewels of the route are Canada's iconic Gothic Revival Parliament buildings on Wellington Street, perched on a bluff overlooking the Ottawa River. Not that long ago, however, Ottawa was a grim, dirty, industrial town. Crumbling buildings and blighted neighborhoods were but a short distance of the Parliament buildings. During World War II, most of the downtown green spaces was filled with temporary, wooden office buildings hastily constructed to house the capital's burgeoning civil service. The city's natural beauty was also threatened with unplanned urban sprawl, while its waterways were fouled by the detritus of the area's extensive wood products industry and the untreated sewage of its mushrooming population. Efforts to improve the city began shortly after Confederation with the creation of Major's Hill Park in 1874. In 1899, 3 years after Prime Minister Sir Wilfrid Laurier voiced his desire for Ottawa to become the Washington of the North, the first city improvement committee called the Ottawa Improvement Commission, later the Federal District Commission, initiated a number of landscaping projects, including the Rideau Canal driveway. A series of urban planning studies were subsequently commissioned, including the Todd Report in 1903, the Holt Commission in 1915, and the Cushan Report in 1922. Their recommendations included an expansion of Ottawa parklands, the rationalization of the city's tangle of railway lines, and the enforcement of building regulations. Broadly speaking, however, little was achieved owing to changing government priorities, war, and the Great Depression. One idea that initially found traction but ultimately also failed was the suggestion of forming a national capital district, akin to the District of Columbia in the United States, that would encompass the cities of Ottawa in Ontario and Hull in Quebec, along with their hinterlands. Political opposition, notably from Quebec, and concerns about the linguistic future of the area's francophone residents scuppered the idea. Another effort at rejuvenating Ottawa's downtown core close to the Parliament buildings began in 1937 under the guidance of Jacques Grébert, a noted French urban planner whom Prime Minister Mackenzie King had met at the Paris exhibition, Exposition Internationale des Arts et Techniques dans la Vie Moderne, held that same year. Grébert had been the chief architect of the exhibition. When the two men hit it off, King asked Grébert to come to Ottawa to help prepare long-term plans for the development of government buildings along Wellington Street and in adjacent areas. However, war broke out before much could be achieved beyond the construction of the National War Memorial at the intersection of Wellington and Elgin Streets. Immediately following the end of World War II, Mackenzie King invited Grébert back to Ottawa to head a far larger urban planning project, devising a long-term development plan for the entire 2,300-square-kilometer, 900-square-miles, National Capital Region. Grébert was a controversial choice. The Royal Architectural Institute of Canada objected, writing a letter to Mackenzie King saying that the National Capital Development Project should have been entrusted to a group of Canadian specialists rather than to a foreigner. Officially, responsibility for the project rested with the 17-member National Capital Planning Committee composed of representatives of the cities of Ottawa and Hull and area counties, the chairman of the Federal District Commission, FDC, the Federal Minister of Public Works, Canadian professional institutes, including the Royal Architectural Institute of Canada, and others. While Grabert was clearly the lead consultant, he was supported by the FDC and a staff of Canadian architects and engineers. The final 300-page report, along with the accompanying volume of maps, watercolors, and scale model of the city, was released on November 18, 1949 after more than 4 years of work. Mackenzie King, who had retired as Prime Minister the previous year, wrote the foreword to the report. In many ways, Graeber's plan for the national capital was King's legacy to the country. The plan was also dedicated as a memorial to Canadian service people who died in World War II. Before discussing its recommendations and their justification, the report provided an in-depth survey of the national capital region, covering its physical characteristics, history, demographics, land use, housing, public buildings, transportation systems, with a special section on the railways and recreational, touristic facilities. Sometimes the report is more poetry than prose, referring, for example, to the broad-bosomed Ottawa River and the boisterous leaping Chaudière. At one point it strays into conjecture, in critically accepting the unsubstantiated claim that the 1916 fire that demolished the center block on Parliament Hill was set by a German hand. Despite such quibbles, the report is exhaustive, and makes a compelling case for its sweeping urban renewal plans for downtown Ottawa Hull, and the preservation of rural greenspaces. The key recommendation was the relocation of the railways and associated rail yards and warehouses out of the downtown core. Grabert argued that the tracks had been laid to serve the interest of their operators and the lumber barons rather than those of the broader community. Originally on the outskirts of the city, the railways had been constructed without regard for future urban expansion. In addition to beautifying the city, their removal would return the city to its citizens by eliminating rail barriers that divided neighborhoods, improve safety, and speed traffic circulation. Replacing the railways would be a network of highways, urban arteries, and tree-lined parkways. Grabert recommended the construction of two new bridges across the Ottawa River on the outskirts of the city that would link the Ontario and Quebec highway systems, one in the west over Nepean Bay at Lemieux Island, and another in the east over Upper Duck Island. Grabert also sought the elimination of Ottawa's trolleys as their overhead wires and related infrastructure in the downtown core detracted from the beauty and monumental nature of the area. Other important recommendations included urban renewal for blighted neighborhoods close to Parliament Hill, such as Le Breton Flats, the elimination of the wartime, temporary, buildings that littered the city, the imposition of strict building regulations to preserve the view of Parliament Hill, and the decentralization of government operations. To address urban sprawl, Grabert recommended that the government acquire land to build a greenbelt around the city. He also favored the expansion of Gatineau Park and the preservation of neighboring forests and rural areas for recreational and touristic purposes. In downtown Ottawa, he recommended the construction of a number of large monumental buildings, including an auditorium and convention center on Lyon Street between Sparks and Albert Streets, the establishment of a national theater on Elgin Street, a national gallery on Cartier Square, and a national library on Sussex Street, north of Boteler Street. Noting that a capital without a dignified city hall is a paradox, Grabert proposed the construction of a new Ottawa City Hall to replace the one destroyed by fire in 1931 but never rebuilt. His proposed building fronted on Nicholas Street with a new bridge across the Rideau Canal at that point. He also recommended relocating Carleton College, the forerunner of Carleton University, to the fields of the experimental farm along Fisher Avenue. Finally, in keeping with the idea that the redesigned National Capital Region would be a memorial to Canada's war heroes, Grabert planned a giant memorial terrace at the southernmost point of the Gatineau Hills with an imposing panoramic view of Ottawa. As one might expect with any such sweeping plan, there was opposition. Many of Graeber's recommendations were rejected or ignored. But the French urban planner got his way on two key recommendations: the relocation of the railways out of downtown Ottawa, and the establishment of a greenbelt. Through land swaps between the FDC and the railways companies, downtown Union Station, which was across the street from the Chateau Laurier Hotel, was replaced with a new passenger station built south of the city on Tremblay Road. The unsightly, 600-foot-long, train shed at Union Station was demolished, and the tracks that ran alongside the Rideau Canal were removed, making way for Colonel By Drive. Similarly, the Ottawa West Freight Station and tracks at Le Breton Flats were expropriated. Ottawa's rattling trams with their unsightly overhead wires were also retired in favor of more economical buses. Earning the gratitude of future residents, the federal government was also able to push through Graeber's Greenbelt proposal south of the capital. Despite opposition from suburban townships, Nepean politicians called the Greenbelt the Weed Belt. On other issues, Graeber was less successful. His idea of a huge war memorial in Gatineau was dropped owing to opposition from veterans who wished to commemorate World War II dead at the National War Memorial in downtown Ottawa. Most of the monumental buildings he planned for the downtown core were never built, or were located elsewhere, though his call for the demolition of the temporary, wartime office buildings was heeded, albeit over a very long time, with the last one, the Justice Annex to the east of the Supreme Court building, only succumbing to the wrecking ball in 2012. His attempt to preserve the view of Parliament Hill from the south through height restrictions on commercial buildings also failed as high-rise office buildings, constructed to house federal civil servants, blocked the view. Similarly, his attempt to rejuvenate the Le Breton Flats took more than a generation to get underway owing in part to changing government priorities and inertia. 50 years after the blighted neighborhood was demolished, it remains a work in progress. With hindsight, Graeber's preference for the automobile over trains and trams also had its downside, in part because he grossly underestimated the expected future population of the National Capital Region. He had anticipated a population on the order of 500,000 to 600,000 by 2020, compared to 1.4 million today. Like the railways that preceded them, highways and major urban arteries came to divide neighborhoods. A case in point is the Queensway, which replaced the east-west CN rail line. Graeber had envisaged a tree-lined boulevard. Many mourn the loss of a downtown train station, and the passing of the city's tramlines. The failure to build two new bridges across the Ottawa River at the city's periphery linking the Ontario and Quebec highway systems has meant that interprovincial traffic continues to be routed across downtown bridges, aggravating traffic woes. Finally, the development of the Greenbelt did little to stop urban sprawl as Graeber had hoped. Instead of the Greenbelt promoting the development of self-contained satellite communities as he had envisaged, the automobile permitted them to become bedroom communities for Ottawa, and in the process further contributed to traffic congestion. In sum, the Graeber plan was marred by faulty assumptions and inadequate follow-through. But, despite all, Ottawa was transformed from a grimy, industrial city to a capital Canadians can be proud of. For that, we must give a big hand to the vision of Jacques Graeber.